Welcome back into Hour 4 of WWL Sports Talk. I'm Steve Geller along with Mark Menard here filling in for the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert and Christian Garrick. And now we are gearing up in this final Hour 4, Pelicans basketball, which will be a not too late night, I guess, but a later evening tip, 8:30 in Milwaukee against Giannis and the Bucks. Welcoming to the show, as always, we have our special guest, Ali Cosell of TheBirdRights.com. Ali, how have you been, my man?
I've been a lot better, Steve, Mark, as you can tell, with the Pelicans coming off and winning a couple of games now. You know, after having hit a little bit of a tough stretch there after a four-game winning streak. So the up-and-down roller coaster looks like it's pointing back up.
Yeah, and I was telling Mark this before, that the chemistry between Zion and Brandon Ingram, you can definitely not only see it growing in the stats, but you also feel it when they're on the court together.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a point that not a lot of people are making, but I think it's an important one. In today's game, everything's about really individual stats, yep. And that's really how contracts are geared towards paying people who produce the most money. So typically, yeah, there's some either animosity, adversity, you name it, even within teams, right? Amongst the top guys especially, there's no such, you don't feel any kind of vibes of any kind like that between Brandon Ingram and Zion. I think their relationship really is a genuine one. So I think it's great to see that not only they're producing, but that they're talking highly of one another, that, you know, Coach Van Gundy is pulling them off to the side and, you know, after practice or whatever, having meetings together with them. So it feels like they're actually building something here very special together, which, like I said, is rare in today's NBA.
Part of that build has been the development this season of Point Zion. And I think the team has played really well when it's given him some opportunities at the top of the key to kind of see the whole defense, facilitate a little bit, maybe drive the lane if he feels the spot is there. We've always seen him compared to guys like Charles Barkley, but could there be a little Magic Johnson in Zion's game?
I'll be honest with you, yes, because when he came into the league, nobody expected for him to be able to basically be the initiator of an offense. Sure, he could go get his points, get out in a fast break like we saw at Duke and convert and transition for himself or maybe set up another teammate, because he did have some good passes, but nobody saw anything like this on this kind of basis to where he's now literally bringing up the ball for parts of the game consistently alone, initiating the offense, and whether he's getting himself a good shot or creating for a teammate is becoming kind of standard, right? So the growth is there. This is something that the Pelicans said they wanted to do, gradually have him be more of a perimeter player with the ball. You know, David Griffin said in preseason that, hey, we see Zion as a perimeter player, and Steven Adams is really the only big. Well, now we're actually kind of seeing it, you know, tangible evidence of it because of, like you said, he's getting way more pick and rolls, creating that offense or getting the points. And that's great because, guys, he could be now – his ceiling feels higher, right? When you become that kind of like almost LeBron James-esque type of player where you can shoot from anywhere, get your points easily, and set up teammates, well, that's the best of everything.
It's been nice to see on Twitter lately less people just yelling spacing during Pelicans games.
Oh, my goodness. Tell me about it, guys. I mean, yeah, and at first it felt like that might have been a problem, right? Start of the season, they couldn't hit a three. Their team totals were in last place amongst the lead, right? They couldn't hit a three to save their life, and the spacing didn't look all that good. But it just looked like they just needed to figure out their roles, get each out of each other's ways. And, boy, I'm telling you, now they have the best offense. You know, outside of those first 4 or 5 weeks, they're literally right there 1, 2, 3 in offense in a lot of categories. So it looks like this is for real. It looks like this is going to stick. Now can they fix the defense, right? That's the biggest question.
Ali, I'm a self-admitted fair-weather Lonzo Ball fan. Well, coming into New Orleans, I wasn't a big fan of the trade. Then his play here to begin with, I was like, he's something. Then fell out of favor with me. But now he's starting to rise again, that play, and you know, starting to, you know, be more a lot more attractive on the court than he's been in the past. What's gotten into him? I know Coach really said he's healthy now, and you know he wasn't for that West Coast road trip, but he's definitely the pickup of the pace and him being able to distribute the ball to the guys has improved greatly since that.
It has. Since he missed those three games during that Western Conference road trip, he's been shooting lights out. You know, he's averaging about close to 15 points a game, shooting about 45% from three. hitting him astoundingly great from the corners, which is something every NBA offense needs, and hitting the mid-range shot. And, of course, he's doing everything else. I still think he's probably the Pelicans' best perimeter defender, even though Josh Hart is right there. He's also a good rebounder. He's got that size, so he uses that well, and you're right. Transition game is still a big part. I think the Pelicans had something like 26, 28 fast break points against the Pistons last night, and they've been number one here in the month of February in fast break points. So the key to that is having Lonzo, because he's still special. Even though he's not creating, of course, half-court offenses, you still want to get out and run in today's NBA, and you want to take advantage of the talent that this team has, right? They're young, got explosive legs. You've got Brandon Ingram's scoring ability from all over the court. So you need a guy like Lonzo. So I think, honestly, I really hope, guys, that he has shown enough where he combined from last year, right? He had a 2.5-month glimpse of really good play, fell off, but who didn't really in the bubble outside of J.J. Redick? Had a slow start, but you can almost write off the injury to now really having a sustained good run. And like I said, I think he's cemented a good role between Zion and Ingram, because you need guys that are going to be good supporting role players that can give you a lot of different things that those guys can't or need help in. And Lonzo really checks a lot of boxes.
My biggest concern really is with him. Do you get that sense that Lonzo Ball wants to be in New Orleans, or does he have a desire to be in a different market?
No, from everybody I've talked to, from what I've seen, watched, his interactions ever since he's gotten here, he genuinely likes it here.
Okay.
He and Zion really do have a special relationship. Those guys talk all the time between timeouts, end of games, stuff that you won't see on camera all the time, but I catch it. And from, like I said, from people that have told me as well, no, he likes it here. And you've got to be, you know, let's be real. Lonzo can't lead a team. I think he knows that. He needs to be around guys like Zion. And of course, he's long time been a friend with Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, too. So I think this is honestly his best situation. So he probably wants to stay here. As long as the Pelicans give him, you know, a decent salary that he thinks is fair, I think he would jump at the opportunity.
Ollie, Steve's still annoyed because when he was on The Masked Singer, there were no New Orleans clues whatsoever.
That's true.
No mention of the Pels. I guess you didn't watch.
Oh, sorry, guys. You broke up there. I couldn't hear the last part.
I said no mention of the New Orleans Pelicans at all when he was on The Masked Singer in his clues. So that's why Steve's a little spicy about Lonzo.
Yeah, well, you know, what's funny with Lonzo, whether you like his music or not, whether you like his demeanor, whether you like anything about the guy, he's just the most divisive player I think I can ever recall here being in New Orleans, right? So that's always, I feel like that's always going to be here. So I don't know. I've learned to live with it. I tune it out, but hey.
Another player that, you know, is kind of divisive in terms of the Pelicans roster, but mostly because of his play, is Eric Bledsoe. What does this team do with Eric Bledsoe, and where, what is his role? Because it seems like he's hot and cold, and they don't really know what they've got in him.
Mark, I honestly don't think he fits. He was brought in to be, you know, fill in Drew Holiday's role, right? Being kind of a guy that can give you everything, but maybe at 80% of because Drew Holiday's, let's face it, he's a better caliber player overall. But Eric was a much better player in Milwaukee, and he just hasn't shown that side, I feel like, here in New Orleans. But the only thing he's done better here is knock down the three-point shot. Other than that, whether you look at his effort, you look at, you know, his steal rate, his free throw rate, how often he drives, I have a problem seeing that he even wants to be here, right? I don't see that fire, that heart that you need to see from a player. So he's 31. He's actually older than Drew Holiday. So if Drew Holiday was moved because he kind of didn't fit the timeline, how on earth does Eric Bledsoe fit when he's not giving you the same or even close to the performances Drew did? He's a little bit older, and like I said, now there's an effort question with him. One thing I will say, though, that people are giving him a hard time about, and even Stan Van Gundy talked to us in pregame, is the fact that he has been a pro. He really, you don't see any kind of, you know, slump shoulders where he doesn't talk with teammates. He does share in the joy. I just think he's not giving you that ultimate effort, right, like he did with the Milwaukee Bucks. So when that's not there, then you just got to move on from him.
So do you think they move him before the trade deadline, and is there a market for Eric Bledsoe right now?
Mark, I think they would love to move him before. You know, I heard maybe rumors that they were trying to move him when they first acquired him from Milwaukee with Drew, but I don't think there was a market for him like there was, say, George Hill, which they turned into Steven Adams. I think they're probably going to try again. In fact, I know they're trying again. We heard those rumors about a month or so ago now. That include, of course, J.J. Redick too, Lonzo Ball. But I think the market isn't there. That's the problem. Who's going to want to take on his salary, right? About $17 million range, but not just for this year. Who cares about just this year if it's an expiring, but next year? Got to pay him almost the same amount, a little bit more. So that's the problem with how much, you know, how teams are so close to these luxury tax lines and don't want to go over it. It's hard to add a player like Eric Bledsoe, who right now isn't doing himself any favors of, you know, being a desirable trade object. So, yeah, it's a tough boat for the Pelicans.
So is he on the roster when the season's over, in your opinion?
I'm going to say yes. I think there's probably a better chance of moving him during the off season than there is before this trade deadline. So, yeah, unfortunately, I think so.
Ollie, we've got the Milwaukee Bucks on tap tonight, and no Drew Holiday, though, which I guess is a good thing for the Pelicans, obviously, since his defense is so adept. But hopefully he's okay health-wise. I know he's missing time due to COVID and health protocols.
Right. He's missing his 10th straight game for the Bucks tonight, but there was a chance he could have played. He was listed as doubtful. So he's got to be close to getting to a return, you've got to think. One interesting thing, though, is the Bucks haven't played well when he's been out. And they've won their last three games, but they won their last three, I think, in big part, or at least some kind of decent part, is because DJ Augustine, he started those last three games. Well, he's also going to be out tonight. So without those two guards, you know, I think it's going to hurt Milwaukee. Before these last three wins, they had lost five straight. So I think that could be just a little bit sliver of an opening for New Orleans. So maybe sweep the season series. Who would have thought that,
right?
Against the Milwaukee Bucks.
I know the Pelicans haven't been good on the road this year, and I know the protocols on the road are different. How much do you think that plays into how poorly they've played on the road, that they have such a different travel itinerary or agenda when they're on the road now due to COVID?
I'll be honest with you, I don't give it any kind of credence whatsoever, simply because I think the number one issue when you're on the road is honestly the noise and unfamiliarity of being in arenas that you only shoot at a couple times during a season. I don't think just because they have to wake up a little bit earlier or they're stuck in their rooms, you know, a little bit longer, don't get to go out and enjoy themselves during, you know, wherever city they are for the nightlife or whatever, hasn't really been an issue at all. I mean, the players have kind of talked about it earlier in the year, and not one of them mentioned that as a, you know, possibly a chance or a reason for the why they struggle on the road. Other teams are doing really well. Some of them are doing better than they ever have. And, you know, so I think that since everybody's under the same COVID protocols, I just think that theory kind of gets destroyed there.
So what is their issue on the road? Why have they been so much better at home?
You know, I think everybody would like to figure out exact reason, but honestly, I'm going to write it off to their youth, right? There's some familiarity here playing in these confines, maybe having the same locker room for a young team. As for when they go on the road and they're sitting in their hotel rooms by themselves, you know, that chemistry isn't there. So they can't just walk on the court and all of a sudden, I guess, not just offensively, but defensively, right? Work as a unit. And we've seen, I mean, the issues. I mean, it's incredible how often teams make the three-point shot, and let alone, I mean, let's face it, how many they give up, right? The Pelicans, boy, they're still leading the league in the amount of opponent three-point shots. So I think that's all just based on rotations. That's all on the understanding of the teammates, chemistry, all that, because Stan Van Gundy says they've tried every kind of, you know, possible scheme, strategy to combat that, and it hasn't worked. So I've got to think it's deeper. You know, it's got to go to just some unfamiliarity with the growing pains of, like I said, a growing superstar, 20-year-old, Brandon Ingram still coming in his own. Lonzo Ball, right? He hasn't been a consistent force. So I think that's probably the better explanation.
Ollie Cosell, thebirdwrites.com. The Pelicans play tonight, 8:30 on TNT against the Milwaukee Bucks. Ollie, thanks so much for the time, man. We always appreciate you.
Absolutely, guys. Anytime.
Take care, Ollie.